The Zone. Retail powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Braves watch party at Crazy Town in downtown Nashville tonight at 7 o'clock. The Braves and Ryan Klesko will host a watch party experience for the Braves game against the St. Louis Cardinals at Crazy Town. Fans will enjoy live performances and appearances by Braves mascot Blooper, the Heavy Hitters, ATL Breakers, and the Tomahawk Team. That's tonight at Crazy Town, 308 Broadway. Ryan Klesko will be there. He was part of a pretty bad A team in 1995.
Yes. Of that team. Sophomore year in high school.
World Series champion. All-star in San Diego as well in 2001. When he hit .286, 30 homers, 113 ribbies, 105 runs scored, 23 stolen bases.
I mean, that's all right.
Yeah. Not bad for year 10, right?
Yeah.
Ryan Klesko joins us now on 3HL. Ryan, what's up, man? How are you?
Doing good down here in Nashville, watching actually one of my friends, which is one of the top songwriters in Nashville. Actually, he won country music, songwriter of the year several years ago, Bobby Pinson. I'm actually right downtown Nashville watching his son play a wood bat tournament.
Oh, very cool. Those things are awesome. They're starting to do that for kids, too, and it's funny because kids don't really understand like the cool aspect of utilizing and hitting a baseball with a wood bat until they do it, and then they're all in.
Oh yeah, it's great. We had one earlier this year with my son. He's 10, and they've got way too much YouTube. His first time ever using a wood bat, he hit a home run, and then he bat flipped the kid. He literally bat flipped him. And I'm like, oh my God, he's going to get hit his next at bat. He's only 10, but they didn't throw at him, thank God. But it was pretty cool. I couldn't believe it. I was in shock because, you know, they had been training with that wood bat for maybe a week or so, you know, but it was very cool as a father to be able to see that. And these kids, they understand it with these wood bats, you have to hit the ball in the sweet spot. See, these new bats, you can hit it anywhere and the ball just carries, you know, so it does, it's a good training tool.
Ryan Klesko with us in town, as he said, in Nashville. Welcome to Music City, Ryan. Got an event coming up, Braves watch party over at Crazy Town, 7 o'clock. You and the Braves hosting this watch party against the Cardinals. This is going to be fun, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, we were doing TV last night with Fox and the Braves in Atlanta, and I drove, and they asked me to come down to Nashville. And, you know, I've got so many friends that are singers and songwriters here, and Bobby Pinson, Cole Taylor, Tyler Farr, worked on my farm for me when we had a place down here in Nashville, and then he made it. And then, obviously Jason Aldean's from Macon, Georgia, where I live now. So I have a lot of friends here and we spend a lot of time here. So when they asked me to come down and do it, I was excited.
You have any songwriting talent? We know you can play ball, but anything else musical?
No, absolutely not. Nothing. Zero. I mean, I got my son playing, you know, I think he took lessons for a couple of days. But anyways, other than that, none. I'm not even going to claim it now. My cousin Matthew Klesko, he's actually written some stuff and done some, you know, small stuff here and there. But he lives in Albany, Georgia. So, but yeah, he's trying a little bit. But it's a cool thing, you know. And Bobby and I've been friends for a long time. And Cole was just, Rhett and Peach Pickers with Dallas Davis and all those guys are from Georgia. So it's pretty cool. They're really gracious. When I come in town, we get to hang out and every once in a while.
Ryan, it's amazing what celebrities that you and your Braves teammates are, especially probably in the southeastern footprint of the United States. As a kid, I came home one day in the middle of the 80s in rural Arkansas, and we had cable TV, and the Braves were on cable TV, and I grew up in Cardinals country, and you could hear the Cardinals on the radio, but the Braves were literally on your TV every day, and that continued, you know, into the 90s, into your career. That had to have been a pretty amazing thing. When you guys went places, you had to have been like rock stars because some ball teams were on occasionally. You were on every night.
Yeah, it was crazy. You know, the old cable box with the brown cord, y'all remember that?
Yeah,
you
know, I had it.
You had two choices. You had to watch the Braves. At the time when that first came out, they were horrible, right? So in high school, even in junior high school and high school, you had to watch the Braves just lose 100 games every year. But
yes.
then, you know, but you had Dale Murphy and Bob Horner, and then they started winning. And you either had to watch the Cubs or the Braves, so that's why they call them America's team. So everywhere you went, you had fans, so which was cool, and then we started winning. I grew up California, you know. I mean, we were watching the Braves. Mom loved the Braves. It was crazy. I grew up a Dodger fan, too, so I got to see, Dodgers and Angels. Like I say, Nolan Ryan, Reggie Jackson, Bob Welch, and all the, so I got to see those guys, but I had to go to those games, like you're saying. But the Braves were always accessible, on a school night, so... It was pretty cool, and I got to know, main thing, get to know all these country music singers because they love the Braves too. So one of my friends asked me one day, he said, "How do you know all these guys?" It's like, well, Brooks and Dunn, Ned Yost, Brooks and Dunn are real good friends. And so they needed they were wanting to come see a World Series game when we were in 95 when we beat the Indians in the World Series.
Yeah.
Ned asked me if I had extra tickets. And I said, "Well, I don't know if I've got any pictures. Who are they for?" They said, "Brooks and Dunn." I'm like, "Well, true story." So they sat next to my mom during the World Series, and we ended up winning. And I became friends with those guys. So I became friends with those guys. And then, of course, they're just so gracious to me. We're fishing together, we're hunting together, we're going to concerts together, and we're still friends to this day. But just think how many bands opened up for Brooks and Dunn out of all the concerts I used to go. Blake Shelton was like the he came on the bus and, knowing who he was, he had like one song on the radio. And I met Blake through that. Rascal Flatts with those guys. I know all those guys were well. And all those guys are basically the opening acts for Brooks and Dunn all these years. And that's how I got to meet him. And of course, I'm a big outdoorsman. So we hunt and fish. I wouldn't be surprised when we're in an interview right now there'll be one of the guys, one of the singers on the road wanting a place to fish or go hunting. I get blown up all the time. Like 2 in the morning, they're like, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Kix Brooks doesn't text you here in a second because he loves coming on with us. What was it like to play in the outfield with guys starting on the mound like Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, and John Smoltz? I mean, just sitting there watching a bunch of strikeouts and ground balls, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, one night you get just ground ball, ground ball, ground ball. Then you got Smoltz coming out. Then you got, strikeout, 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 occasional home run once in a while if he left the fastball up. But, and then you got Glav, which just worked hitters. He just carved them up. He wouldn't give in. Threw the changeup at any time. So it was three different pitchers, in my opinion. Maddux was like throwing a wiffle ball. You throw it right down the middle. They go to swing and they'd fall down because it would move a foot before it got there. And then just three different pitchers, three Hall of Famers in their own right. And then none of them were the same. And Maddux. The reason I like Maddux the best because we gambled and played poker together on the plane with Smoltz and those guys, but he taught me a lot. He taught me a lot about the pitcher's thinking, what the pitchers are thinking. So that helped me as a hitter. But also, we played golf together and stuff. But I liked him the best because most of his games were like 2 hours, 2 hours and 10-minute games and 220. Everybody liked that. The umpires love it. The defense loves it because you're not out there all day,
You talk a little bit about hitting and how much he helped you. Mentality for you in the batter's box. We talk a lot about athletes who have played their sport for a long time, and a lot of people question them. Oh, they're in this year. They're almost done. How did your mentality, specifically in the batter's box, because you were a big, hard swing guy, how did that change as you got older, as you played longer?
Well, I thought I was a good player, and I was getting a little frustrated. I wasn't making any all-star teams, but, you're at first base and left field. You're going against McGuire, Barry Bonds. You're going against, these big, big power hitters in these big markets. And then, when I left Atlanta, even Atlanta back then wasn't a big market. They didn't really vote all-star players in. So I was like, I got to get better. So as I got older, I started studying more and more tapes of even all the best hitters in the major leagues and started getting better. I shortened my stride a little bit. I started being more selective at the plate. I started drawing more walks. And so everything went up. On base percentage went up. I started stealing bases and I make an all-star team. The one year I think I was second in the league in home runs and didn't even make the team because back then the manager had to take you or you got voted on. So when you play for like San Diego, a small market team, they're not going to vote you on. So you just have to have the manager like you. And then he's got, of course, most of the first basemen or left fielders are all good. So I got lucky enough to make the all-star team and play on some great players, Maddux, Glavine, Smoltz. I tell people, a little bit, you know, about my career was, I had a good career. But you know, I played with Trevor Hoffman, which broke the all-time save record at the time. I played with Ricky Henderson. I actually hit a double in the gap to score Ricky Henderson to tie the all-time runs record. And the next night he broke the all-time runs record. And then I played with Barry Bonds, and Barry Bonds hit the home run, to break the all-time home runs record. And then him in the dugout and picked me up in the dugout. So just to be a fly on the wall, to be able to play with these great players was a true blessing.
Ryan Klesko, our guest. One of the guys that you played with was Fred McGriff, and I think he's beloved by Braves fans and so many baseball fans. I just love the guy, and I was watching. We knew you were coming on. I found a YouTube video of him saying that he stole your swing, and he was extending that right arm and poking the ball over the fence like Klesko, and you guys were laughing it up and everything. And I just wonder, do you think he's a Hall of Famer, Fred McGriff? Because there are people, Ryan, that do, and you played with him every day for years.
Well, he played in obviously the juice, what they call it, the juiced area, where there's a lot of big hitter, powerful hitters out there. And Freddie just stayed consistent. I mean, God, look at him. If he didn't hit .500, was he just short of .500 or was he at .500? I mean, he's probably only guys with that many home runs,
He hit .493, Ryan, .493.
Yeah, I mean, it's seven. I mean, they're keeping him out of the Hall of Fame for what, seven home runs? Everybody else who's hit .500 is going to be in the Hall of Fame. Well, besides the guys that they think that took steroids, right? Freddie was a pencil, right? He wouldn't take in any juice, I don't think.
He was.
He sure didn't look like it.
Who doesn't like the crime dog? He's always had a smile on his face. You know, early on in his career, he stole some bases. He's a great defensive guy. Great, one of my good friends. Love the guy. He's always, just a positive guy, right?
He sold those Tom Emanski videos too, Ryan. He sold a million of those rascals.
Oh, yeah. He's, you know, like I said, I always put, when people walk up and see Fred McGriff, they just put a smile. You know, he makes everybody smile because that's the way he is. He's always smiling, positive guy, but also a stern guy. Like he, you know, work. You know, he's with the Braves right now working, you know, doing a lot of stuff in the minor leagues. Great guy. We try to go to a race together every year. We have some friends that are in NASCAR, so we try to get together every year in Daytona and watch a race together at least every other year.
How much do you like today's version of Major League Baseball?
Well, yeah, that's a tough question because I like some of the stuff and then other stuff that just, you know, there's so much analytics and you know, launch angles and all this stuff. But when it comes down to it, what teams are winning the World Series? Same ones always won. Good pitching, line drive hitters, guys that can get on base. So, yeah, I mean, does it help with maybe changing the guy's career around? Like, was it Muncie from the Dodgers, which, you know, got released? He changed his launch angle a little bit on his bat, and he made sure that stuff helps. But I don't believe in the college players hitting .220 in college because they're trying to lift the ball and they're hitting .220 with 20 home runs in college when they should be hitting .340 with 20 home runs in college and they're just trying to drop and drive the ball in the air. So there's some of the stuff I agree with that can help, you know, of course with pitching and stuff like that. I like some of it, but some of it I don't like. I don't think that they should completely run the game. There's still a gut feeling to the game. Let the manager, I hear a lot of the new manager or a lot of the old managers leaving the game. That they're not even letting the manager run the team. They're pushing all these numbers and percentages down there. Well, you know, I mean, hey, listen, if it was all about numbers, then the Yankees would win it every year because they've got, you know, even when I played, they had the best teams on paper you can put. But did they win every year? No. Because when it comes down to it, it's a team. It's a team sport, and you've got, you know, human folk in there. It's not just numbers. You have to play well as a team.
Ryan Klesko with us. Let's talk about the Atlanta Braves, man. Fun team to watch, 28-23. They're 10-3 in their last 13 games. Good group, man, with Freeman, Acuna, Ozzy Albies, Stansy Swanson. Now you got this rookie, Austin Riley from Memphis, that's killing it. This is a fun group.
Oh, it's a great group. I mean, it's contagious. Hitting's contagious. The bullpen, you know, the bullpen's throwing better now. They're scoring a lot of runs. You know, I think we did a number on TV the other night where 25% of their runs were home run or 25% of their runs were off home runs. And now it's like 45%, you know, but the guys are drawing walks, you know, sites are done for the hitting coach of the Braves does a great job about being patient, getting good pitches to hit, staying on the ball, the opposite field, left center, right center. And that's coming around. That was preaching to minor leagues. So, and when a guy comes in, it usually takes a few years for everything to start settling down. You can tell how well the scouts are doing and everything. But I knew that, you know, just by, I go to guy, I'm well enough to fortunate enough to be invited to go spring training every year. And I've been seeing these minor league kids for years now, and their minor league system is so strong, and you're finally seeing it. They're starting to see some of these kids pay off, you know, getting up the big leagues, right? But I've seen Riley for a few years, and you see a lot of these kids coming up for a few years, and they have one of the strongest minor league systems in the in all the baseball, and it's starting to pay off now.
What do you think about this kid, Austin Riley? I know just 9 games, but, man, he's fun to watch, and he's delivering in big moments, too. What do you see just in terms of projecting him out?
Well, early on, obviously, he's on fire. Early on, you want to just look and see, okay, how's the league going to adjust to him? So I'm just sitting back watching. You know, you don't want to jump to any conclusions, you know, can he hit the slider? Can he hit the whatever? But after seeing him last night, both pitches that he hit, the home run was a pitcher's pitch. It was down in the zone. It wasn't over the middle plate. He hit it out. The game-winning hit was 97 miles an hour on the outside corner right at the base, right at the bottom part of the knee, maybe a little bit off the plate, and he punches it to right field for a hit. That right there shows me that he doesn't – a lot of hitters, believe it or not, in the major leagues are just sitting on the middle of the plate, and they can't hit the ones in or away. Well, this kid's doing it. He's hitting in and away, so he's locked in. Now, is he going to be able to continue that all year? Probably not, but as long as he stays consistent with that swing, I think at the end of the year you guys are going to see some big numbers from it.
Ryan, obviously a lot of Vanderbilt baseball fans just within the sound of our voice here, and Dansby Swanson, a young man, I know he's been on a nice uptick too.
Exactly. I was on the field last week and talked to Dansby about it a little bit, and he's, you know, he's feeling good, and he's feeling good in spring, and he was, you know, he's doing pretty good last year, you know, and people don't realize, you know, they were kind of like, well, you know, he's not doing this, he's not doing it. You know, people don't realize, because I talked to him about it. I said, just go out and have your fun. Make sure you're healthy. He played with a sore wrist last year, and I did that 1 year, and I had the worst year of my career. I had like 250 with like 19 home runs. I was swinging with one hand. I tried to play through it. I got some cortisone shots. I was taping my wrists up a lot. And I just told him, Dansby, hey, don't play unhealthy. If your wrist is bothering you, take a day off. I said, you're swinging the bat good. But, you know, you got these athletes and these guys you want to play. And so a lot of them play hurt. Dansby, in my opinion, when he's healthy, he's going to be a great hitter. I just want to make sure he's not going out there. And, you know, that wrist is really, you got to be real careful of that. And I told him, I just gave him a little bit of my career. I said, don't do what I did and go out there and try to play hurt. Make sure if you need a couple extra days off and your wrist is sore, take it. Don't ruin your career. Bobby Bonilla ended his career a little bit short. You know, he was having wrist problems, and he ended up having wrist surgery, and he was getting a lot of cortisone shots on his wrist. So I just gave him a little bit of my intuition, like, hey, man, I know you're swinging the bat good, and when he's healthy, people don't know this, but when that wrist wasn't bothering him, he was mashing the ball.
Hey, before we let you go, I have to ask you this, and we're up against the break, but your favorite Bobby Cox story? Because guys talk about him as just the greatest guy. Just curious, maybe get a great Bobby Cox story before we go.
Oh, my gosh. There's so many great stories. So I tell you what, when I was – I think Smoltz talked to this. It was like it's Hall of Fame thing, but real quick. So I think I struck out and with a man on – or I popped up with a man on third, and I was pissed. I went down there, and I threw my helmet pretty hard in the corner. It ricocheted off the corner and then slow rolled all the way down. All the way down and like literally rubbed and like it didn't hit Bobby Cox. It just like bumped his leg, and he looked down and there was my helmet sitting there. Right. He picked my helmet up and walked down the tunnel and literally disintegrated my helmet.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so I never did that again. And they were the whole team was laughing. So, I blew up pretty good. I mean, I was beating the shit out of my helmet. I threw it and the worst bounce you could possibly get. And it was slow rolling. And as it's rolling there, I was telling myself, no, no, no. And that was the end of my helmet.
Ryan Glasgow hosting a Braves watch party tonight at Crazy Town on Broadway. Go check him out. Watch the Braves play the Cardinals. Thank you, Ryan. Enjoyed it, man.
Yes, sir.
Ryan Glasgow.
Go Braves.
He's right about Austin Riley. It's tough to and everybody wants to jump in on how great somebody is with the kind of start that Riley has had in 9 games, but he's right about last night. Last night, the 2-run homer to tie the game in the 8th, a pitcher's pitch, as he said, and then the game winner, he just went with it, outside corner, low and away, 97 miles an hour, poked it to right for the game winner. Beautiful. We'll be right back. 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Tommy in Nashville next up.